Welcome aboard this week's podcast of Dudes Dish Disney. Get ready for amazing attractions across America. Beer halls and bar rooms, banquets and beverages, a collection of characters and colleagues.
No cupcakes.
It's Dudes Dishing Disney. This episode of Dudes Dish Disney is sponsored by Magic Vacations. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel. And now your host, the dudes of Dudes Dish Disney.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Joining us today is our producer and resident tech dude, Jonathan.
What's going on, you guys?
Also joining us is our co-host, Ryan. He is the number one Disney dude.
Hello, dudes.
And I'm Congo Carl, former Jungle Cruise skipper. You guys know the rest. And welcome to this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney, The Business of Disney, Mickey in Public Domain. Kind of crazy, right? That this is happening around us because it's so much part of our fabric.
Yeah, this is a very weird one that I never thought was actually going to happen. When all the information and everything started coming out with this one shocked me. I'm like, no, Disney's going to find some way to lock this up and throw away the key forever. No one's going to have access to Mickey in the public domain. This is just crazy. This is Disney's bread and butter. This is Disney's golden child, however you want the analogy you want to put it. This is Disney. There's no way they're going to let this happen. But here we are in 2024. And what do you know? As of 12:01 on January 1st, Mickey's in the public domain.
So what's interesting about this, though, is, John, I think what you said nailed it, right? Like, it absolutely nailed it, just in terms of, like, I don't think many of us Disney fans thought this was going to happen, especially because it's already been stopped once, right? This isn't the first time it was supposed to happen, but here we are, right? But what always cracks me up is that, like, a lot of Disney stuff is in the public domain already. You know, there's a lot that's already out there. There's a lot of characters that Disney has drawn from that were in public domain from other places as well. Just to kind of throw out an example, right? Peter Pan. Pinocchio, Aladdin, right? Like, these are popular public domain figures. Tarzan, that Disney has, I don't want to say exploited, right? But they've definitely used and maintained. And when you think of those names, what do you think of? You think of Disney, right? So I think I'm already, during this conversation, having this internal battle with myself about whether or not I like it, you know, like, what's going to happen with it. But I think when I look at those names, I don't think it's surprising that it's happening and it's okay to happen, because I think it's always going to be associated to Disney no matter what happens. It's just how much can they protect that brand, right? That's going to be the biggest concern. But I think it's cool. I think there's a lot of fun that could come from it too. So I don't know.
All right, let's get into the legal aspects of this too, just in case if our listeners haven't dug into it the way we've dug into it, because it is, you know, the business perspective. So, you know, Disney has fought to keep this copyright a couple of times, as Ryan has pointed out, and they wanted to keep it as long as possible. The original copyright extension was set to expire in 1984, but a lot of the lawmakers actually went through Congress. And in 1976, the law was changed to allow the owners to retain the copyright protections for the duration of the life of the author, aka Walt Disney, and add 50 years to that. Okay. And then in 1998, Disney once again successfully lobbied, along with other entertainment companies, because a lot of people had things coming up, to extend the copyright protection of the life of the author plus 70 years for, or a maximum of 95 years. So that's how we got to the 95 years, right? Law. It wasn't always that way, it was much shorter. So Steamboat Willie, and it is the Steamboat Willie version of Mickey Mouse, comes up in January 2024, right? So here we are. What does that mean? It means anyone in the United States can use Steamboat Willie or a version of that Mickey Mouse character without fear of copyright infringement. And copyright laws vary by country, so in some countries, Mickey's protected. But that's basically it. Let's face it, nobody ever wanted to get involved with that because the army of lawyers that Disney has would certainly wreck somebody if they went and tried to do that. What's interesting to me is I go back to Disney used to really police this in their merchandise and everything, right? And they really used to, when I was working at the parks, if somebody had a knockoff, you're driving down I-92 in Kissimmee, and somebody had a knockoff picture, or there was a gift shop with fake t-shirts, they would have a crew of people that would come in and bust them open and find them and cease and desist on producing that merchandise or figuring out where it was made from, et cetera, all the knockoffs. And they really would police it. That has grown, I think, slack in the last 10 or 15 years. And then you have things, you know, online shops and Etsy and all those things with their, even their font, they don't protect much, right? But I think they all saw this day was coming. And so they lost their zest for protecting it, right? So I think it's been kind of in the fabric of the company right now. And so I think that's why we don't see any interviews or articles or people coming up saying it. They're kind of calmly handling the situation because I think they knew it was coming for so long.
Well, I think there's another side to that from a business perspective too, Carl, which is that, like, yes, there's probably a bit of that, but there's also positive to letting people have some fun with your brand, right? And that helps grow the brand. And when you're already a global company, you got to find ways to keep growing your brand. So the Etsy shops, I think, are a perfect example of what I'm going to talk about with this, right? Is that the Etsy shops, Disney lets a lot of those shops operate in good faith. But if you dare bring a pair of Mickey ears or sell a pair of Mickey ears that you made on Etsy into the Disney parks, Disney's going to find that person who's making those or trying to sell those in the Disney parks or around the Disney parks or on Disney property, and they're going to come after you with the full force, right? So I think Disney's really kind of playing this maybe a little bit lazily, yes, but also from a perspective of they've been able to successfully grow their brand by allowing the fans to enjoy it, you know, at a different rate. So that's another aspect to look at. But I'm glad that you specified this as the Steamboat Willie version of Mickey Mouse, because unfortunately, I think most people, most articles you're seeing are just saying Mickey Mouse is in the public domain, and that is not accurate. It is a very specific version of Mickey Mouse, of actually right now a very specific version of Minnie, and even a specific version of My Guy Tigger are all in the public domain now. So I would also like to announce to the group, we have a fourth member joining us next week. It'll be Tigger animated. Thank you very much. Enjoy. Just kidding.
I was going to say, wait.
No, it's not. We can profit off it.
I was going to take that much work. I didn't realize I was becoming the animator as well.
I had zero interest in you becoming the animator, John.
Don't worry, buddy. Thank effing God.
Hey, don't just kid about it. If we can pull this off and make money off it, why wouldn't we?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, right, I think it would make sense. I've already got like ads idea for my side business going on right now for Magic Vacations. I've got ad ideas going on with Steamboat Willie and these other characters that we could use theoretically. But I think as travel agents who specialize in Disney, I also think there's a chance that Disney comes out and says, yeah, we don't own the rights to it anymore, but if you use it, we're not going to sell to you anymore, right? Like, they still have the ability to do that if they want to.
Interesting.
That has nothing to do with copyright.
Yeah, right. I mean, so look at, I mean, and just so everybody knows how these laws work, it's not just Steamboat Willie. It's all kinds of stuff. This happened with the original classic version of Winnie the Pooh a few years ago, right? And that was out. And I mean, if you have a book like D.H. Lawrence's Lady Chatterley Lover, right? And films like Charlie Chaplin's film, some of his classics, all of that stuff, right, is reading that catalog is coming forward. So it applies to everything. It's just notable that it's Mickey, and it's in our world that it's Mickey. Now, it is Steamboat Willie, which means also Pete the Cat was in that original, right? And he's up.
That's going to bankrupt Disney right there.
Yep.
That's
Pete the
it.
Cat is
It's
a
over.
big deal. I mean, come on now. That's where all the millions came from.
So that's what I'm saying. It's all encompassing, but the focus is on Minnie. And I, what's interesting to me is why they didn't go back and lobby again. I don't understand why, because they fought twice, and it was just not on the radar. I mean, and you know, Disney has the political pull and will with members of Congress to kind of get this stuff done.
Part of me thinks too, just with everything else going on in the world of Disney with legal battles and all that, I'm not going deep into those because those are a different topic where we've talked about in the past a little bit, but it's not the place for this show. But I think based on that, I think just financially it didn't make sense for Disney to spend more legal money in a legal battle for something over a character that's ever so popular. And I think too, to a point, they have good faith in the true Disney folks that are going to use it in an appropriate manner. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to see someone try to use it in an inappropriate manner or something where Disney might come back and say, hey, this is not our intent. And at that point, they might try to find some legal way to spin it in the favor of Disney as it's an infringement or it's a violation of some right or something against the use of Steamboat Willie or one of the other characters. I could see that in the long run happening.
It's possible. I think you're right. And it kind of goes back to the Etsy point that I was making, right? I think if Disney still looks at this, and the fact of the matter is Disney's a 100-year-old company, right? And Steamboat Willie slash Mickey Mouse, I don't care who you are, it's always going to be associated back to Disney, right? So it doesn't matter if it's copyright or not. It's at this point, everybody's going to think Disney when they see Mickey Mouse. But I think, John, you're onto something there, right? And it's the same thing I said before, right? It's a good faith thing. If somebody's using Steamboat Willie in a way that doesn't harm the brand, why would they bother? Why do they care, right? But if Variety, a magazine, reported that there is already a report of a horror movie starring Steamboat Willie, right? Is it possible that once the images come out from that, Disney, you might go, hey, that's a little too much Mickey Mouse and a little too little Steamboat Willie. We're going to go after them and put them in a legal bind. Yeah, that's totally possible that that could happen. You know, so I think there are options on the table, but you can't ignore too, getting back to Carl and your point about the legality of it and the pull within politics with it. There's no doubt that recent politics with Disney could play into this. There's no doubt, right?
Look at
There's
the
so
there was signaled it signaled from because I do a little look into politics on both sides because I just interest to me it's another form of sportsmanship from my perspective. They had no appetite to go after it for some years because they got signals from some of the lawmakers that were involved that there was just no appetite in Congress to support them. You know, they just didn't have a big enough, there was unwillingness to extend the copyright law on their behalf. Let's put it that way. There was a Copyright Clause Restoration Act of 2022, which would cap those terms out anyway, so it would kind of coincide with this time frame anyways. So I think that had just so had ha happened last year. They weren't going to go back and make a change to something that was so newly and put in place by Congress. So I think they had they started something sooner, a few years back, maybe. So I really think it was a lack of planning on the Disney part. And then by the time it caught up and this other law was passed last year, they're like, well, it's, you know, literally, we don't have a dog in this fight because Pluto wasn't invented yet.
Oh, there it is.
Oh.
Always got one every show. I hope you're drinking at home every time Carl says a Carl joke.
Well, but I mean, so it is, you know, it's Mickey, it's Pete, it's and you know, the Silly Symphonies come up. You can go to the catalog of Disney stuff and see the other stuff that comes up, the Three Little Pigs, right? All of that stuff's coming up. Now, Disney itself historically has leveraged those types of laws and on copyrights in public domain to make some of, to your point, John, you brought up, to make some of those movies. They've also, you know, is recently documented with the Mary Poppins storylines. They also, you know, begged, borrowed, and stealed the authors to get involved, to get the rights to produce works of art from some of those great books and literature. So, you know, the children's books and literature. So willing cooperation from some, unwilling on others, but sometimes Disney let that expire. In general, a lot of music that Disney had put in their cartoons was popular music from the day and the period that wasn't copyrighted. It was in the public domain. So you can't have it both ways. And I think Disney's been savvy about that. I just think there was a missed opportunity here for one more time here. And by the time they realized that they were going to have no allies on either side of the aisle in Congress, they said, well, we're not going to fight it.
What if it's an opportunity to, for them to actually make money, right? By letting it slip into the public domain. What if it's an opportunity for them to consult on movies or for them to provide something? You know, I'm not sure, but like, you look, there's a bunch of Disney characters that are in public domain that have been making movies as recently as within the last 5 years, right? Some characters Disney really didn't have a lot of control over, but a lot of their characters themselves are coming from places that are, you know, made in the 1700s, right? So maybe they just realize that there's an opportunity, since it's their brand. People will say, hey, we want to make this horror film about Mickey Mouse. Can we get some consulting from the Disney company? Because we actually want to make it as realistic as possible. I know that sounds like a stretch, right? But is there an opportunity? Potentially. You know, maybe they'll be making side business on this. Maybe they'll be getting a cut of something on this in order to allow a song or allow something, you know, an animator to work with them. Who knows? But that could be part of it too. They may just say, you know what, in the long run, we're just throwing money away because it's going to happen. We might as well find other ways to supplement the money from those characters now. I think that's a possibility. Maybe a stretch, but I think it's a possibility.
No, good point. I don't, you know, it's interesting to think about that. I mean, everyone else is obviously doing this for the idea of making money. I think it's questionable how much they're going to make. You know, now we can talk about, you know, the elephant in the room. It's been released now that I guess there's two different horror films that are coming up.
Yep.
That. I've seen one trailer. I haven't seen the other. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, why, of all things that you could use that iconic brand for, why do you think the first two things out of the gate are horror movies?
To be honest, I mean, you've got some people who would just despise Disney. We all know that. I mean, for everything, there's people in favor, there's people against. I mean, and these people that have these twisted minds, they're into the horror stuff. And some of these directors, producers, or whoever that's written this stuff, I mean, the real question is, who hurt you and why did they hurt you? But at the same point, I mean, again, it's a 500-pound gorilla that is Disney. People want to try to knock it down in any way they can. They're gonna attempt to do it. And I think this is their way of free speech and creative speech to say, hey, this is my feel of Disney. This is my feel of Mickey, Steamboat Willie. This is how I'm going to express myself. To be honest, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, I don't so much foresee an issue with it. I mean, is it the goal of what Disney was trying to do with the design of Steamboat Willie? No. But it's not intellectual property and it's not owned by anyone. It's in the public domain. You can do what you want with it. So,
you know, I have a interesting thought on this, Carl, right? Like, as is everything today, it's all about what's going to get the most clicks and the most views, right? So you're releasing these trailers, but do you remember a couple of years ago, and he's still obviously really famous, but there was a peak, I would say, probably in, you know, 2014-ish, the street artist Banksy, right, became really popular on the internet everywhere. And you know, nobody knew who this guy was, and it was like a modern day whatever, right? Just a kind of a crazy story. And in the peak of that, Banksy had released an art exhibit called Dismaland. And it was kind of like a dilapidated, kind of scary Disneyland in a dystopian theme park. And that made its rounds, right? Like a lot of people looked at that and thought about that. And it was, whether you were a Disney fan or a non-Disney fan, everybody was kind of like, that's weird. That's crazy. But it caught a lot of people's attention. And if this thing, if it's 2024, we're talking 10 years later, now these things are coming out. I wonder how many people were inspired by something like that to be like, I wonder how cool it would make to make a horror movie about, you know, Mickey Mouse and Mickey Mouse's theme park, right? Like, I wonder how many people were inspired by that kind of stuff.
Well, here's our fifth gate.
Yeah. The real dark park.
You're wondering how we can make money off of this. I'm just saying, right? Because look at, again, Disney's played both sides of the face. When Pinocchio was made, it was in public domain. When Little Mermaid, more currently, was in the public domain, right? The original story from Hans Christian Andersen. So they've played that game. So I guess all's fair in movies and war. So I guess they're going to say, okay, it's eventually it circles around that that our stuff is not going to be available. You know, there is obviously no control. Public domain is public domain, because if you can go so as far right as the good-natured whistling rat on a boat turns into, you know, in the preview I saw, you know, someone's just donning an ugly Mickey Mouse mask, which, by the way, you know, Disney hasn't come after these creeps in Times Square in New York City who have got these knockoff costumes of Mickey Mouse, which is the current day Mickey Mouse. Maybe now they will, because, you know, those costumes are mimicking the current day, not Steamboat Willie. But I just, to me, there's an amount of chaos here that I'm trying to get my arms around and head around to figure out what's next, right? And I mean that from a business perspective, as a business person, and also as a fan of Disney. You know, how do I get my head wrapped around this and what it means and what's next?
Did I ever tell you guys about the time I put on one of those Disney heads in Las Vegas? One of those Mickey Mouse heads in Las Vegas? Yeah. There's a classic picture of me somewhere out there in like an orange Reese's Peanut Butter Cup t-shirt with a Mickey head on and a Bud Light in my hand trying to drink it on the strip in Vegas. So I'll see
Let me guess, you were young and stupid at that point.
I mean, I'm old and stupid, but I was younger, yeah.
And the inside of the head smelled like the monorail.
You know, it was like 9 p.m. in Vegas, which means at that point I wasn't smelling anything. I was ready to roll still. It was a different life, Carl.
All right, we just found our picture for our promo.
Yep. That's where my head went.
So let's take this on the fun side. You know, not such good taste, the horror thing, but if we're creative business people, what would we do with Steamboat Willie to make some money? Or do we not want to divulge that here because it could be millions, you know?
Yeah. I mean, all my ideas turn into something eventually and I never take credit for it later anyway. So
just remember now it's being recorded. So you have proof.
That is true, but I don't think I would win against Paramount or anybody else who decided to go that direction. Which is part of the business, right? Can you win? No? Okay, shut up and deal with it. I think there's a lot of fun that can be had with it, right? And just in general, as more and more of these characters, you start to see, like, you know, everybody knows I'm a Marvel guy, right? Like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And you're going to start to see, like, this multiverse of Mickey characters, right? Like, you're going to start to see, like, oh, this is the, you know, normal arc of Steamboat Willie. But in this version, Steamboat Willie crashed the boat, you know, like, and this is what happens. And you can take on a whole different kind of life from that. So I think there can be a lot of fun with that, that I think will keep not only Disney fans kind of enthralled with it, but you'll probably bring in a new audience of people that want to see kind of some of that stuff too. So there's a lot of positive. You look at how many spins are on Tarzan, right? Like, just there's so many different spins of Tarzan, and they're all still telling the same basic story, but in live action, animation, new age, old age, you know, TV shows. You can do so much with it. It's just pretty incredible.
Well, and I use Pinocchio as an example. There's been a lot of stuff, Disney and non-Disney, that's been really bad in the last dozen years, right? On it that people are trying to make that, and it just doesn't work. And they haven't. You know, if the goal was, hey, grab something in the public domain and make money, well, they've lost money on those things. So the question becomes, what can you do that's really good that's going to make money off of that? I mean, is it a merchant? Is it centered around merchandise, maybe. I don't know. You know, there's more people maybe who are apt to, as a collectible person, do more with that, and that might be a way to go rather than a movie spin-off.
Yeah, it's funny because when you started talking about that, I thought about Snow White and the Huntsman, which was like a 2012 movie. And the first thing I did was say to myself, well, that movie was crap. So don't try to make a horror movie with Mickey Mouse, because if you couldn't do it with Snow White and the Huntsman, you're not going to do it horror Mickey. It's not going to work. Shout out to Universal for that one. But yeah, I think that's the danger in it too, right? Is that for on the positive for Disney and for the fun side for us fans, is that if you're going to attempt to use a classic character like Mickey, you better come correct, because people will be looking at you for a certain with a certain expectation. And realistically, well, I have comments about the movie industry and how every movie is just remade, or there's a prequel, or there's a sequel these days. But theoretically, that should elevate the experiences that we get from this too, right? Is that people should know, like, we better do this right because there's a high expectation. So I think there's a element to that that could be fun.
You know, it does cross because it's not only Mickey Mouse, it's, you know, and Winnie the Pooh, as we mentioned, but Bambi is up for draws, and you know, Batman, Superman, Bugs Bunny. There's a lot of people coming up real close now, if not already in the domain again. But it's got to go back to these all these cases of it, the original looking character. So I, you know, if I went back to the original Batman cartoon and produced that on a lunchbox, I'm good. I can't do the most recent, you know, Dark Knight images and put that on a lunchbox, right? So you got to go back to the right thing. So that's what I'm saying is, so many people are into merchandise that is retro. I think there's a market for that, right? Is the retro things, and even if you look at restaurants that decorate in the retro field, right? You could make displays or artwork that would fit there, not necessarily offend any original fans of the original characters or artwork, and you could make a buck at it if you were a talented artist.
Yeah. There could be a lot of fun restaurants or theme stores with a Steamboat Willie.
So there's the news. There's our reaction to it. Is there anything else we're missing? You know, John, you guys are the experts from media and communications and some of the laws around there. Is there anything else we're missing here that we should be paying attention to?
We hit it pretty well on the point. Again, I just want to make this very clear for the folks that are listening to this. This is the Steamboat Willie version of Mickey here. This is not the Mickey Mouse that you and I see across the board nowadays. This is not that version. This is the Steamboat Willie and some of those characters that are associated with that short and cartoon. If someone listening to this is like, oh, I can go use the likeness of the current day Mickey Mouse, please don't. And please don't reference us and say we told you could do it, because this is your clear and straight point that it is not acceptable, and Disney will come down with an iron fist on you.
For legal reasons, Disney takes no ownership of your use of the Mickey Mouse logo or products. Thank you and have a great day.
There we go.
Furthermore, you can't use my voice either.
Dear God, no one would want to use that voice.
I mean, that was, I don't know, sounded like somebody got, never mind.
There you have it, our latest installment of The Business of Disney. Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Please check us out on social media, on Facebook at Dudes Dish Disney, on Instagram at Dudes Dish Disney, on Twitter at Disney_Dish. Please visit our sponsor, Magic Vacations, at magicvacations.net. More than just a travel agency, Magic Vacations has over 60 Magic Vacation planners committed to bringing you white glove concierge service. Using a Magic Vacation Planner allows you to spend more time making memories and less time worrying about the details. For all of your Disney, Universal, cruise, and global travel, go to magicvacations.net. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel.